Thank you, Brother Chris. God bless you. If you have your Bibles this morning, and I trust that you do, I want to invite you to find Revelation chapter 13 and verse 1. Revelation chapter 13 and verse 1. We're continuing our verse-by-verse and chapter-by-chapter study of God's Word in the book of Revelation. And today I want to share a message with you entitled, Because He Knows He Has a Short Time. Because He Knows That He Has a Short Time. That actually is a reference back to the previous chapter in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 12, if you will look there. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath because he knows that he has a short time. So we have come to the point in our study of the book of Revelation, and we are in the second half of the earthly tribulation. And we know that earthly tribulation, that period will be 7 years. And so we have seen some time markers as that second half of that seven-year period is 3.5 years, or 42 months, or 1,260 days. We've also even seen it communicated time, times, and half a time. But in this last half of the earthly tribulation, we are going to see the devil wreaking havoc. He will be destroying, he will be devastating the nation of Israel and the body of Christ. And it will be more severe in this last half of the earthly tribulation because, again, he knows that he has a short time. After the earthly tribulation, we will come to see that the Lord Jesus will return, amen, and he will bind the devil for 1,000 years before he casts him into hell for eternity. So because he knows that he has a short time, those last 42 months, that last half of the 7-year earthly tribulation will be, as Jesus said in Matthew 24, the great tribulation and the worst that it has ever been or will be for the follower of Christ. Now, I do want to acknowledge this morning that there will be some of you, hopefully not too many, but definitely some of you, who will not be satisfied because I will not give you enough answers this morning. I will not give you enough explanation. And I want to apologize to you in advance, but the reason that I'm not going to give you all of the answers is it's not because I don't know the answers, but it's more so that I'm unable to know the answers. And I would even say to you that is true of all commentators, all ministers, all preachers. As we're thinking about events in the future, we can speculate, and certainly we know pastors who have preached sermons and who have written books and have founded entire ministries on their speculation. But that simply is all that it is, speculation. Simply because Revelation 12 and 13 in particular are tough assignments. So please know there will be a lot of questions, and I will try to answer as many as I can, but some of your questions will simply go unanswered until your eternity in heaven. This morning we are going to see what many have called an unholy trinity. An unholy Trinity. And the first member we saw last Sunday is the great red dragon. The second member that we will see this morning is the beast from the sea, or the Antichrist. And the third member, which we will also see this morning, is the beast from the earth, or the false prophet. And so together, these make up the unholy Trinity. Let me ask you to turn your attention to verse 1 of Revelation chapter 13. As we talk about the beast from the sea, verse 1 says, "Then I, John, stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea." Now, many through the years have said that what John is seeing here is a Gentile individual. A Gentile individual. And they know that because this sea, not just any sea, but the sea of humanity, and the overwhelming majority of our population being of Gentile ethnicity. And so when we think about this first beast, it may very well be a Gentile individual, but all that we know is that this beast is rising up out of the sea. Notice also in verse 1, having seven heads and 10 horns, and on his horns 10 crowns, and on his heads a blasphemous name. Well, that sounds somewhat familiar. We actually saw a similar description last week in chapter 12 and verse 3 regarding the devil, the great fiery red dragon. Also, verse 3 says, having seven heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems. So this beast out of the sea has 10 crowns, and the great fiery red dragon last week had 7 diadems. Well, what does this mean? Again, much speculation through the years. The 7 heads are perhaps 7 ungodly nations of the past, and the 10 horns perhaps are 10 ungodly nations of the future. That may be true. As a matter of fact, I will give you just a little bit of a preview if you'll turn over to chapter 17, Revelation chapter 17 and verse 12, says, "The 10 horns which you saw are 10 kings who have received no kingdom as yet, but they receive authority for 1 hour as kings with the beast." So it does seem that as we connect these dots from Revelation 12 to 13 to 17, that there will be this 10 king or 10 kingdom federation, but we don't know specifically which countries or which nations are included. And by the way, I'm not going to try to answer that question this morning. We will come to Revelation 17 in the future Sundays. Also, if you look at verse 9 of Revelation 17, here is the mind which has wisdom. The 7 heads are 7 mountains on which the woman sits. Well, what are these 7 mountains, and who is this woman? Again, we will come to Revelation 17 soon enough, but I did want to simply connect these dots this morning of Revelation 12 and the great fiery red dragon and Revelation 13 and the beast from the sea and Revelation 17 that we will get to in the coming weeks. But at the very minimum, this beast from the sea is extremely powerful, is evil because he is just like the great fiery red dragon. And I want you to notice as we begin thinking about him for just a few moments, I want you to notice his authority. Notice his authority. Verse 2. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard. Again, notice the symbolic language there. Like a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear. So as fast as a leopard, as strong as a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion, powerful as a lion. Again, commentators through the years have connected this to the book of Daniel, and I believe that there is a connection there, specifically of Daniel chapter 7, but it is hard to know specifically about these details of this beast from the sea. But notice that his authority comes from the dragon, the great fiery red dragon, Satan the devil, that we saw last week. The end of verse 2, the dragon gave him his power, his throne, and great authority. So his authority comes from the devil. In verse 3, and I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world marveled and followed the beast. So as we're thinking about this unholy trinity, the great fiery red dragon masquerades as God the Father, mimicking our heavenly Father. The second person of our holy trinity is God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the second person of this unholy trinity is the beast from the sea, or the Antichrist. And he will seek to masquerade or mimic God the Son, Jesus Christ. And many through the years have looked at verse 3 and have said, concluded, that his mortal wound, his wound that caused him to die, but was healed. And all the world marveled and followed the beast. Does that sound familiar? Many have speculated that the Antichrist perhaps will have a staged assassination in which his death will be publicized all over the world, but miraculously, because again, he's masquerading as God the Son, Jesus the Christ, and like Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead, the Antichrist miraculously will come back to life, and all the world will marvel and follow the beast. Perhaps that is true. If you look at verse 12 here of Revelation 13, the end of verse 12 says, whose deadly wound was healed. And if you look at the end of verse 14, the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. And so perhaps the Antichrist, the beast from the sea, will have some type of perceived death and resurrection. Verse 4 says, they worshiped the dragon who gave authority to the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And so this beast from the sea has authority. He has an injury that was healed. And then notice thirdly, verses 5 and 6, notice his blasphemy. He was given a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies. Untrue things is literally what blasphemy means. And he was given authority to continue for 42 months. There's that time marker again. That 42 months, that 3.5 years, that 1,260 days, the second half of the earthly tribulation, the unholy trinity, the devil, will be wreaking havoc on planet Earth with the nation of Israel and the body of Christ. Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and all those who dwell in heaven. The Antichrist will be anti-God and anti-his character and anti-his people for that 42-month period. Verse 7 says, it was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. And all who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And so during this last half of the tribulation, this last 42 months, this last 3.5 years, this last 1,260 days, if your name is not written in the Lamb's book of life, if you are not a follower of Christ, then all the world will worship this beast from the sea, the Antichrist. Now let me tie up just a few loose ends here before we move to the next beast, the beast from the earth. This beast from the sea, he is a political, or will be a political leader, compared to a religious leader that we're going to see in just a moment. And I do believe that the Antichrist, even though he is an entity, he will also be an individual and a specific person. And I believe that God's Word tells us that. Turn over, if you will, for just a moment to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, notice verses 3 and 4. The Apostle Paul, talking about the earthly tribulation, talking about what in Scripture is known as the abomination of desolation. It's the midpoint of that earthly tribulation. It will begin that second 3.5 years. But Paul speaks of a specific person, an individual who will be that Antichrist, that beast from the sea. Again, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come, the day of the Lord, the return of Christ, that day will not come unless the falling away comes first. And the man of sin, that's the beast from the sea, the Antichrist, is revealed. The son of perdition, or the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God. Do you remember that temple that we spoke about that will be constructed at the beginning of that 7-year earthly tribulation there in Jerusalem? But he sits as God in the temple, showing himself that he is God. That will be the beast from the sea. That will be the Antichrist. That will be that second person of this unholy Trinity. But there's a third person of this unholy Trinity. Again, the great fiery red dragon masquerading, imitating, mimicking God the Father. The beast from the sea, the Antichrist, masquerading, mimicking God the Son. And then we have the third, masquerading, mimicking God the Spirit. This is the beast from the earth, or otherwise known as the false prophet. Look at verse 11. John says, then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth. And just as commentators have said that The beast coming out of the sea is a Gentile from the sea of humanity. They have also concluded, speculated, that the false prophet, this beast from the earth, will be a Jew coming up out of the earth, the God's earth, the promised land. And he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. And I would say also, not just spoke like a dragon, but spoke for the dragon, that same dragon that we saw last Sunday in chapter 12. Notice this second beast. Notice his authority, verse 12. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. So again, the first beast, the beast from the sea, will be a political leader. But this second beast, the beast from the earth, will be a religious leader. And just as the Holy Spirit points people to Jesus, this second beast, this false prophet, will point people to the Antichrist. Verse 13, notice not only his authority, but notice his ministry. He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of man. He's able to do some supernatural acts, again, mimicking, masquerading as the Holy Trinity. But he will do it to deceive, verse 14 says. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. So now we have this introduction of an image. Will it be a statue? Will it be an idol? Well, it's not just exactly clear as to what it will be. But verse 15 provides us even some more information. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. And so imaginations now are running wild. What will this image be? Will it be some type of technological image? A hologram? Will it be some type of ventriloquism? We're talking about an image that has the appearance of breathing and is speaking and causing people not who don't worship the first beast to be killed. That will be his ministry, pointing people to the Antichrist. Well, we come to the end of chapter 13 and we see this beast from the earth, his identity. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. So now we have introduced to us this economic system. This economic system in the earthly tribulation, the final 3.5 years, the final 42 months, the final 1,260 days. And you will not be able to participate in the economic system unless you have the mark of the beast, either on your right hand or on your forehead. And so effectively, ostracizing, freezing out, setting aside the follower of Christ. Verse 18, here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, his number is 666. Well, again now, as we've heard through the years, our imaginations are running wild, trying to identify. And so when we see that number, 666, we run and we shun. And I would just simply say to you this morning, again, not knowing how the future is going to unfold exactly, but just simply reminding you that 6 is one less than 7, the perfect number, the number of God. And 3 sixes corresponding to the unholy Trinity, 666, one less than the Holy Trinity, 777. And so, can I say this morning who that individual is? I cannot. And certainly only time will tell. But here's what I want you to know this morning. And here's what I understand the main focus of this text is. Again, the devil is going to be wreaking havoc because he knows that his time is short. If you go back to verse 7, it says, it was granted to him. Now this is the first beast, the beast from the sea. But remember, he receives his authority from the great fiery red dragon, the devil and Satan. Verse 7 says, it was granted to him to make war with the saints. It will be the great tribulation, brothers and sisters, for the followers of Christ and for the nation of Israel during this time, this last half of the earthly tribulation. It will be the worst it has ever been. And secondly, not only will it be Christian persecution, but it will also be Christian martyrdom. Look at verse 15. He was granted power, this is now the second beast, to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. We will have to name the name of Christ in that second half of the earthly tribulation. And when we do, it will cost our very lives. But I want to leave you this morning with this. I want to leave you this morning with verses 9 and 10 that I skipped over just a moment ago. Some encouraging words here in the middle of this 13th chapter about the unholy Trinity. Verse 9 says, if anyone has an ear, let him hear. He who leads into captivity, that's the devil, he leads into captivity, shall go into captivity. I spoke just a moment ago about how when the Lord Jesus returns, that he will bind Satan for 1,000 years. And so Satan, who leads people into captivity, shall go into captivity. And he who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Satan will be banished to hell for an eternity, never to steal, kill, or destroy again. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Can I encourage you this morning with something that I read this past week that Martin Luther, that German reformer, once said? And that's this: the devil is God's devil. The devil is God's devil. Now think about that for just a moment. It's not saying in any way, shape, form, or fashion that God is responsible for evil. But what he is saying is that ultimately God is in control. And he is even in control of the devil. And so when we look around, even in our world today, and we look at God's Word and we see how awful it is going to be in the future for the body of Christ, the devil will only be able to do what God allows him to do. Because the devil is God's devil. And he will only allow him to persecute for just a short time. And then it will be an end unto him. Can I invite you this morning, going back to our text, can I invite you today to make sure that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life? If you have never trusted in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, today I invite you, in just a moment, to join me as I pray. And if you would like more information about that, again, you can contact us here at the church and through that website that I mentioned previously, connect.emorybaptist.org. If God is leading you to respond in some specific way from today's message, other than or in addition to making sure that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, please let us know. We would love to help you and assist you in following through with believer's baptism. We'd love to help you and assist you and let you know the details about formally and officially uniting with Emory Baptist Church. Or if there's some other way in which we can assist you, pray for you, counsel with you, we would love to do that as well. But can I ask you at this particular time, would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me and let me lead us in prayer? Father in heaven, today I'm grateful and thankful that the devil is your devil. And that doesn't mean in any way, shape, form, or fashion that you are evil. But it does mean that you're in control. And so I pray that you would encourage your followers this morning with that truth. And Lord, if there's anyone within the sound of my voice who has never put their faith and trust in Christ, who has never had their name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, Lord, I pray today that you would convict them of their lostness. I pray that you'd give them faith to believe. And I pray that you'd give them boldness and courage to confess you before men, so that you will then confess them before our Father in heaven. Father, we love you. We thank you for your love for us. Lord, thank you for your kindness for us. Let us never take it for granted. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.